why the heck? And this was my idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's funny I say this is my idea. Really, this was Google Analytics' idea, as much as my idea. Funny thing happened, folks. I was looking at Google Analytics for who's finding what on my website? As people who have used Google Analytics know how that works, it just tells you what search terms people are using to find various pages on your website. And I had been noticing this, for the last year or two, but for some reason it really just grabbed me at this point. Hundreds of people per month are searching for something like, my husband complains about my cleaning, mm-hmm. or my husband gets angry at me when I clean, or all sorts of variations on that theme. Hundreds of people per month are showing up at a particular blog post on my website that happens to be the first blog post that I ever did on the website back in 2019 when I started that blog,
mm-hmm.
before the pandemic even, before we ever started this podcast.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me, people are searching for this. Obviously, it's a topic of concern.
Welcome to Couples Therapy in 7 Words. I am your co-host, Judy Alexander, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Bruce Chalmer.
Well, hello, Judy. Hello, listeners. Our topic for today is...
My husband complains about my cleaning. Help!
So we will be getting into that in just a little while. And of course, among the things I'll explain is, why are we going for this particular topic? It does seem kind of specific, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
We'll get there. But before we do that, let's put in a plug. Actually, we have several plugs to do today.
Lots of plugs.
Yes, lots of plugs. First
plug
of all,
away.
Yes, let's just plug the podcast itself.
You know,
people should do, you're listening to it, right? So you're listening to it on some platform, aren't you?
So tell everybody how wonderful it is. Share it. Follow us.
Subscribe on your platform and whatever platform. Please give us a rating as well. That helps people find it. And we'd like to keep growing our listenership because we enjoy that. And it sounds like the folks who are getting in touch with us enjoy it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So please do that. And also, let's put in a plug for the books that I have recently written. And then I'm going to put in a little extra bit about the book thing this time.
So the latest book is It's Not About Communication, Why Everything You Know About Couples Therapy is Wrong.
And that's available anywhere books are sold.
Yes,
and
the other one is Reigniting the Spark, Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back.
Indeed. And I hope you will get a hold of those, as many people have. Because I happen to think they're pretty good books, as a matter of fact. So a lot of people have told us that as well. The extra wrinkles today about the book on the book front is that I have actually created a short book. I forgot how many pages it is in the if it were printed. It's only an ebook. It's available on Amazon. It's called 7 Words to Jumpstart Your Love Life.
Mm. And what might those 7 words be?
Well, what might those 7 words be, Judy? Tell folks what might those 7
Could
words be.
Could they be kind, don't panic, and have faith?
They certainly are. And of course, I do go into some detail about how that has anything to do with jumpstarting your love life.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing about that particular one is, I put it up on Amazon because it's so easy to do these days. I put it up on Amazon and you can buy it there for, I think I set it at $2.99 or something like that. But the cool thing is, you don't have to buy it because I'll give it to you for free if you sign up for my newsletter. You can do that right from our podcast website, CTN7, that's the number 7, ctn7.com. You can do it from my author website, brucechalmer.com. Either one of those will work. You'll see a box magically appear where you can sign up for my newsletter. And when you do that, you will be given a link that will let you download a PDF of this new book that has nice pictures and I think a pretty cogent text that helps you understand how the 7 words indeed can help you start, jumpstart your love life.
Yeah.
And why don't we use that as a segue into our topic for today?
Okay. So the topic for today, my husband complains about my cleaning. Help.
Yes. Why the heck? And this was my idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's funny I say this is my idea. Really, this was Google Analytics' idea, as much as my idea. Funny thing happened, folks. I was looking at Google Analytics for like, you know, gee, who's finding what on my website? As people who have used Google Analytics know how that works, it just tells you what search terms people are using to find various pages on your website. And I had been noticing this, oh, for the last year or two, but for some reason, it really just grabbed me at this point. Hundreds of people per month, hundreds of people per month are searching for something like, my husband complains about my cleaning, mm-hmm. or my husband gets angry at me when I clean, or all sorts of variations on that theme. Hundreds of people per month are showing up at a particular blog post on my website that happens to be the first blog post that I ever did on the website back in 2019 when I started that blog, mm-hmm. before the pandemic even, before we ever started this podcast.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me, gee, people are searching for this. Obviously, it's a topic of concern.
Yes, it is.
So we thought, well, for this, two things. First of all, we're going to do this podcast for you and talk about that. And we're going to go right back to the letter that we got, that very first blog post, the letter that stimulated that first blog post. And moreover, I am writing as we speak. Well, not as we speak. We're doing this podcast, aren't we? But these days, I am in the middle of writing another short book, the title of which will be My Husband Complains About My Cleaning, because I think if there are folks who are concerned about this, I've got some good stuff to say about it, and I'm putting it into a book. So here's a little taste of what I'm talking about in the book. We'll talk about this today. And you can look for the book, and I will make some big announcements about that when it comes out. But that'll be available on Amazon as an ebook, and possibly, if it's long enough, possibly as a printed book as well. So let's talk about this particular topic. One of the things I noted, and I actually put this in the book, was in addition to the fact that a lot of people are searching for this, I realized when I gave it some thought that I am living with someone who has some experience of this from a previous relationship. We'll just mm-hmm. leave it at that.
Yes.
And not from this one. I do not complain about your cleaning,
you do not
complain about my cleaning. And we both do some cleaning. I think you do more than I do, actually, because you actually see stuff that I don't see. But neither one of us seems to be complaining about each other's participation in that. But you've experienced it in a past relationship.
I certainly have.
And I know lots of people who have. So how should we get into this? Do we want to just dive right into Shirley's letter?
Yes, why don't we start with that and use that as a jumping off point?
Go for it.
Okay, so Shirley writes, my husband is driving me crazy. He complains about the way I clean up. It's never good enough. He says he has to clean up after I clean. I tell him if he's not happy, why doesn't he just do it himself? But he refuses and says, I need to learn to clean better. I'm becoming extremely angry and frustrated, feeling anything I do is never good enough. What should I do?
What a great question.
Yes, it is a great question. I'd say punch him in the nose.
Yeah, I was just going to say, gee, what's your first thought? Punch him in the nose.
I agree with Shirley. If he doesn't like it, do it himself.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is, yeah, indeed. I'm going to make a couple of assumptions about Shirley, which, of course, we don't know Shirley, right? Mm-hmm. So I could be wrong about these things. Well, first of all, there's something that's quite clear. It sure seems like Shirley is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are men. There are men named Shirley, actually, right?
Not anymore.
There
used to be.
Used to be men named Shirley. Yes. But she's almost certainly a woman. She's right. Mm-hmm. She's married, right? Mm-hmm. She's married and to a man. Mm-hmm. She says he. All
Who's
right.
driving her crazy.
Who's driving her crazy, right. And that driving her crazy is kind of the key point here because, well, let me note, if you have a couple that gets along well,
mm-hmm.
and I know a couple that gets along well,
mm-hmm.
we do.
Yes, we do.
We do. And you have had occasion, I've cited this example before because I think it's delightful. You have had occasion in the past to request that I do something different in the cleaning department.
Mm-hmm.
And you have asked me very nicely, you know, would I wipe the sink? That's, you know, mm-hmm. that's the first one I remember. And also, would I not, like, grind the cereal into the floor?
It's more the raisins.
The raisins, yes. The raisins into the floor, yeah. We're laughing about it because you're lovely about how you asked me. And, of course, I want to make you happy, and we get along, you know, and I have this experience of you as we're a team, we love each other, we're relaxed with each other, we can laugh about it, but I take it seriously. If you have a complaint, I want to make you happy, so I'm going to do what I can do. Also recognizing, it's kind of funny because it's not ill will that I don't see some of this stuff. I just don't see some of the stuff you see. Mm-hmm. That's very common, actually, a very common discrepancy between any two human beings.
Right.
You notice some stuff I don't notice. I want to make you happy. I make an effort to notice some stuff. The wipe down the sink, the bathroom sink thing,
right.
I do routinely. It was easy. It's like, oh, here's a way to make you happy. I like making you happy. You smile a lot.
Yeah, that's more of a touch-up thing. That's really not a cleaning thing, though.
No, but it's the same concept. You know what I'm saying? It's like you make a request, and if I don't ever recall, largely because you see stuff before I do, I don't ever recall making a request of you to clean something that, but if I did, I like to think I would make it pleasantly. And any other request I've ever made of you, you're always really nice about. You'll either do it or tell me why you can't do it, but it's not a fight.
Yeah.
So my point being that if you have a couple that is doing well with each other in that very sense of feeling like kin, notice my little sly reference to be kind, don't panic, and have faith.
I saw how you slipped that in.
I slipped that in. The kin thing, when I say be kind, it means you experience yourself as kin. It's like, oh, we're a unit. We're
kinfolk.
A tribe. We're kinfolk.
Yeah.
And so, yes, kinfolk can be mean to each other, but there's still this basic sense that, but we're still, we're a tribe. We're together. We're on the same team. And when we're feeling good toward each other, it's easy, if somebody's complaining about something, you just handle it, and you handle it either by just pleasantly agreeing, it's like, oh, you have a request, I'm happy to comply, or you handle it by pleasantly disagreeing. Oh, you have a request, I don't think I want to do that, and here's why, but I do want to, let's see if we can come up with something that makes us both happy, When the couple's doing well, this isn't a problem.
Right.
Complaints will happen, but this doesn't become a problem. So Shirley, obviously, is not getting along that well with her husband. That's what this is about. This isn't about just the cleaning. I don't mean to trivialize her, his concern or hers.
Right.
But this isn't about cleaning. This is about the relationship. And that's why so many people are searching for this. They are saying something's happening in our relationship where something... If my husband complains about something, and again, she's indicating this very clearly, it's not merely that she's annoyed that he's complaining about her cleaning. It's that she feels put down.
Yeah.
She said, right in the letter, she says, I'm becoming extremely angry and frustrated, feeling anything I do is never good enough.
Right.
That's the problem.
Ah.
That is what she's feeling.
Yeah.
Her experience of her husband is not that he is someone who honors her and respects her and, by the way, might have a complaint about her. It's her experience of her husband is he doesn't honor and respect her. He feels like she's incompetent.
It sounds like the expectation is that she's the one that's doing the cleaning.
Absolutely. That is an important part of it as well. Though it's interesting because I can imagine a scenario where that wouldn't be the case, where someone could still be complaining. In other words, they're saying, hey, look, we both do this cleaning thing, but I wish when you do, you did your part of it, you would do X, Y, or Z differently from how you do it. You know, again, if they're sharing the responsibilities in general, that may be a sort of a pointed conversation, but it doesn't have to be or it's not the sort of thing you're going to write and say, you're driving me crazy. It's like, wow, we have a disagreement. Let's work it out. The problem here is, indeed, he may be thinking it's all her job to do, but whether or not he does, the problem is she's feeling put down. She is not feeling honored or respected.
Right.
And I don't want to sit here, because again, we don't know these folks, right? I don't want to sit here and assume, oh, he's a jerk and she's the injured party. Maybe she's not very nice either to him. I don't know.
That could be.
But whatever's going on, this is a relational problem. It's not a problem about cleaning. And, all of those searches that people are doing, none of them are saying, oh, would you give me some cleaning tips so that I can make him happy? That is not what they are looking for. They're not saying, because they're not, well, let's put it that way. If they end up on a couples therapy site, And what they're really looking for is Heloise's hints. Is that still around?
I think it is.
I think it's still around, they're in the wrong place, right?
Yeah.
So that's clearly not what they're looking for. No, the problem here is that she is feeling dishonored or disrespected. And she may not respect him particularly much either at this point. So they are having a relational problem.
So where do they go from here?
Well, what a great question. So indeed, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, no, I'm thinking that they should that they could sit down with each other and she can ask him, what is it that you don't like? Also find out how they can divvy up the cleaning so that she's not doing all the cleaning. And that if he has all this time to clean up after her, he obviously has time to clean. So why don't they split some chores and say, you know, or like one of the things that you talk about in one of your books is getting to the right argument, right?
Yes.
So this sounds like cleaning is masking, like you said, something else.
Yes.
Right? So there's a trouble in the relationship. So they have to figure out what the trouble is, right? And why he's so OCD about the cleaning thing.
Now, you're assuming that he's... I wonder where that comes from. Never mind. where might that assumption come from?
Well, you know, like you said, he's putting her down. Like nothing she does is ever good enough.
And see, that's the issue.
It's the critical.
It's the critical part.
Yeah.
Because we don't know if he's OCD.
Yeah.
We don't know if he's like... He's saying, look, would you stop? You know, maybe she's a complete slob by some objective standard, and he's just trying to have things be a little bit orderly. Or maybe he's a total OCD neatnik, and she's just trying to cope with somebody who's completely unreasonable about it. You know, it could be anywhere along there. But again, none of that is the issue, because if they were getting along well, and I've actually met couples like that. I've met couples where one of them actually does have a diagnosis of OCD, and it is difficult. Right. It's like if somebody's like, say, the guy is OCD. And again, I know couples like this. The guy's OCD and knows it. You know what I mean? Acknowledges it. He said, yeah, you know, it's almost like he's saying, I wish I weren't so difficult about this. But my anxiety level goes through the roof when things aren't in order.
Well, yeah, I think that's it. I think it's it comes down to a few things. One, yes, you like things in order because that's one of the few things you can control. You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, what the root of the OCD is a different issue.
No, I'm not talking about somebody with OCD. I'm just talking about somebody who's compulsive. I guess that is OCD.
That's the C part of OCD. that's what I'm referring to. No, what I'm saying is if the guy acknowledges it, it's still a problem.
Yeah.
But it's a different kind of problem because then it can be, and again, these are some of the couples I'm thinking of. They can work on it as a joint problem.
Right.
You know, she can say, look, I understand... You know, it does this to you. I wish it didn't. And the guy will say, well, I wish it didn't also, but it does.
Yeah.
So let's work on that. And they figure it out. You know what I mean? And if they're getting along well, which is to say, if there's this sense of mutual kinship, mutual respect and honor, and they're not panicking.
Right.
See, there's the don't panic part, right?
Yeah.
If they have faith that it's possible, then they simply say, well, you know, yeah, what we do may look differently from what other couples might do about this, but hey, we're going to make each other feel okay here. The problem isn't when the guy is acknowledging OCD or whether or not it's OCD. The problem is when the guy is thinking rather like it sounds like Shirley's husband is thinking, which is, I know and I'm right and you're wrong. That's what the guy is thinking. It's like, no, you need to learn how to clean up correctly. You know, it's like he refuses and says, I need to learn to clean better.
Yeah.
As opposed to saying, I don't like, you know, I prefer it differently. That's a different statement than, you know, you're incompetent. You know, you just need to learn. It's condescending. Do you know what I mean? No wonder she's pissed.
Yeah.
So that's the problem for them. It's not so much about arguing about the cleaning thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you talk about they need to sit down and talk, for her to be able to articulate even to herself, the problem is I'm feeling put down here.
Right. Well, you know, he's triggering her.
Yeah. She doesn't necessarily know that consciously.
Yeah.
And this, so let me cite another thing in my most recent book, and it's not about communication, where I talk about this one particular couple, amazing couple that I was working with for a while. They made amazing progress and ended up, you know, I'm obviously changed the details so that they wouldn't be identifiable, but ended up more or less quoting them in this book. That was the couple where neither one of them realized it, but the husband basically thought the wife was a moron. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, he didn't literally think that.
Right.
But he was acting like she was. He always knew better.
Through his actions.
Yeah, through his actions. And to both of their great credit, it was really quite amazing. He was able, after we talked about some of this stuff, and you know, and I wasn't accusing either one of them of anything, but he figured out, he said, oh my God, I didn't realize it, but I was thinking I know better about everything than she does, which is ridiculous. I know I don't, but I guess I thought I did.
Yeah.
And that's why if I was trying to make a suggestion to her, it came out in a way that she was put down by. Mm-hmm. It's not that she was oversensitive. It's that I was putting her down.
When
I realized that, you know,
well,
it was so
those
interesting.
Actions, it makes her feel incompetent, yeah. You know?
And when he realized that, and it was, again, courageously, when he realized, oh my God, I haven't wanted to be a jerk, but I've been being a jerk here. Mm-hmm. He was able to completely change how he would talk to her he wasn't having to follow any rules to do it. He just realized, oh, no, actually, I don't know better than you. I have some different preferences. Then he could just say what he preferred and listen to her when she said, well, I don't, so let's work it out, you know? And what she said in that moment was also really telling, because when she, you know, they had that session where he said, oh my God, I do think she's a moron, you know, and she's smiling. Why is she smiling? She said, yeah, because I agreed with him. I thought I was a moron too.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. If you keep being told that you're something and that everything you're doing is wrong, and you think, well, maybe I am stupid.
Yeah.
Maybe it is wrong. Maybe I'm not capable of this. And, you know, you just shut down.
Yeah.
You shut down and you have all these negative feelings about yourself.
Yeah.
And we see, you know, you see that in, you know, body image and all kinds of ways.
Exactly. And that's the tricky part of this. That's why it's often hard for couples like this to sit down and have a conversation, because they don't know, you know, and I've talked about this before and I'll mention it now, the closed captioning bit.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what the closed captioning is in their communications. You know what I mean? They don't know what's being communicated in addition to whatever they're saying. They think it's about cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
They think they're disagreeing about cleaning. Actually, what they're disagreeing about is whether she is, you know, worthy, whether her opinions are worthy of respect or not.
Mm-hmm.
And they both need to get to the point where they both recognize that both of their opinions are worthy of respect, whether they differ or not. And then they can work it out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's often what the problem is. And to sit down and try and talk about that without realizing that what's happening is disrespect. And again, in both directions, I'm not trying to say, oh, the guy's a jerk and she's not. I'm just saying, no, they both turn into jerks often in those conversations.
Yeah. Well, you know, you bring up one of the things and you start snipping and sniping at each other, and the next thing you know, everybody's angry, and like you said, if you're in a panic, you're certainly not going to be able to sit down and rationally talk about it.
And you know what happens in those conversations, say Shirley, you know, Shirley, you're talking to, we didn't give her husband a name, did we? She didn't give
no,
her husband
she did
a
not
name.
Tell us.
Whatever, Dudley, you know.
Okay.
So Shirley's talking to Dudley, and what happens is Shirley brings up some way that Dudley hurt her 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And
Dudley's
saying, come on, I haven't done that in 10 years. And he's shut down. He's thinking, how can I possibly talk to you when you're going to hit me with things that I heard you, I changed, you know? And the reason she's doing that is that she's still hurt by it and hasn't really felt like it's, you know, feels like it's still happening.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't even realize that's the case,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it shuts down the conversation.
Yeah.
So look, no surprise here, says the couples therapist.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of thing that often couples therapy can help with.
Yes.
I will say, how can I put this without implicitly insulting any of my colleagues out there? This is one of those situations where you need to make sure your therapist doesn't panic about one or the other or both being a jerk. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. There's a way in which, you know, I as a man, certainly, my own experience is I've had to learn the ways in which I'm capable of being a jerk,
mm-hmm.
you know, related to this kind of thing. And when that happens, I remember early in my career, when that happens, I would get very sensitive to other men being jerks.
Uh-huh.
And then I would start being a jerk to them instead of actually helping the couple.
Oh.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
You have to have somebody who's processed that stuff to the extent where I can respect both of them.
Right.
I can be alert to the fact that the woman is feeling put down. And I can also be alert to the fact that the man isn't hearing that, but needs to. And not immediately assume that, oh, the woman should dump him. That's not my decision to make. There are occasions where the thing to do turns out to be, yeah, sorry, dump him. He's a jerk. You know, I claim that is far less usual than people think it is. That very often, a lot of what's going on in these nasty conversations between couples isn't because they don't care. It's actually because they do and they're scared, and fear makes people do things that aren't very nice.
Yeah.
You know, they have, at the very least, they have mixed feelings.
Yeah, and I think what they can get from couples therapy is clarity.
Yeah. Yes, often, indeed. You know, I count it, again, not that it's my, it's not up to me to decide if it's successful or not. It's up to the couple, right? Mm-hmm. But I count it as success when a couple gets to the point of saying, oh, wow, you know, what I've called the oh shit moment, you know, oh, wow, I see where what our problem is here. I respect you and you respect me, but we're not right for each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to live in ways that are simply not going to work. You know, your OCD or my OCD or whatever, even though we're both good people, we are so, our living styles are so incompatible. Well, you know what that brings up? There are folks, and it's more common these days than it used to be, who will say, you know, let's stay married, but we don't want to live together.
Yeah.
And because that's a thing.
That's that living apart together. Right?
Living apart together. It's got L-A-T.
Lat.
Yeah,
LAT.
Right. Yeah, it's it's common enough now. It's got its own acronym.
I know. We've talked about doing a show on that. Actually, we were just looking for a LAT expert.
Yeah.
Any LAT experts out there?
We'd well, because
hear from you.
I had a question from a newsletter subscriber.
Uh-huh.
Asking about that, and
yeah.
I put out the word. Nobody responded yet.
Yeah.
Let's put out that word right now. Yeah.
Okay.
If anybody has some experience of living apart together or wants to comment on it, we would be very interested in your comments.
Mm-hmm.
So what should Shirley do here? You know.
I think she should see a couples therapist with Dudley.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you know, get some clarity on what it is that's really bothering him and bothering her, and how they can talk about this without triggering each other and, you know, getting all bent out of shape.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, that then raises another thing that I'm pointing out in this new book that I'm writing, which is what do you do to get a reluctant guy to go to couples therapy? Because another thing about these folks who are writing in these, who are doing these searches,
yeah.
Again, it's an assumption. I could be wrong, but in addition to assuming that it's, you know, it's a woman married to a man who's, you know, obviously saying my husband, who's complaining about, you know, the guy's probably not being respectful of her. In addition to that assumption, I'm assuming that they're not in couples therapy. Why am I assuming that? Well, because if they were, they probably wouldn't be doing that search. They'd be bringing it up in couples therapy.
Right.
And moreover, lots and lots and lots of those same guys who would be doing those complaints, if the woman tries to say, well, let's go to, we need to talk about this in therapy, he's going to refuse.
Yeah.
And guys refuse for all kinds of reasons. And I did a video about that, actually.
Yes, you did.
Which is, I'm trying to think, is that available? I'm not sure if that's available to folks yet or
that might
how
be
it's
on
available.
YouTube. Is that the one?
It is, but I think it's one that I was using. I was using that one as sort of a teaser to get people to sign up for my newsletter, and I changed to the other thing. So, you know what? If you want to see, here's a little test. If you want to see that video on how to get a reluctant guy to try couples therapy with you, just send us a message. Send me a message, bruce@ctn7.com, and I can make it available to you. And moreover, there's going to be a whole chapter. I'm going to basically take the text of that video and put it in this new book because it's relevant to the issue. Very likely, if she has suggested couples therapy, he's probably said no, and that's why she's doing this. She's doing this search because she doesn't see that there's, she doesn't see couples therapy as a viable option. And I'm claiming, yeah, it's a viable option, but
well, she could always refuse to do any cleaning until he agrees to see
couples
therapist.
Lots of or refuse to have sex with them, right? Which she probably already is doing, actually, but that's another, because she feels disrespected. We don't know that for sure.
Well, I'd say just refuse to clean until he agrees to see a couples therapist.
Yeah, and the trouble with that is it often turns out to be shooting herself in the foot.
I guess so.
Because she doesn't want to live in a mess. And if she, you know, there's It's a fascinating thing.
Well, let's
see
how much he's willing to put up with.
Well,
you know,
people try that.
Yeah,
people try the going on strike approach in various ways. Occasionally it works. I would speculate, because I haven't I don't have quantitative research to back up this statement, but I think usually it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Usually it just makes everybody more pissed off, including her. Mm-hmm. It's sort of, it's similar. You know what it's similar to? When you're dealing with a teenager, which often feels, the same women who are writing this are often feel like their husbands are like another kid.
Yep.
But although in this case, it's not. The husband's acting like a punitive parent, you know?
Yeah.
But often when you're talking about like teenagers, mm-hmm. you know, you ground them as punishment for something, mm-hmm. it usually ends up punishing the parents at least as much as it's punishing the teenager. It doesn't,
very true.
It doesn't work. So, you know, well, for the kids, the kids for whom it works, they only ever have to do it once and then they don't, you know, it's fine. But the kids, they have to do it repeatedly. Increasing misery doesn't usually work. It just makes everybody more miserable.
That's true.
So, you know, going on strike is a totally understandable reaction to feeling frustrated, mm-hmm. but it tends not to work. Really, what it's funny that I'm going to put it this way. It's like, no, don't go on strike. If you're clear it's a deal breaker, then you might have to give an ultimatum, which again, it gets a very bad name. Mm-hmm. The ultimatum, but again, don't give an ultimatum when you're mad. And don't give it if it isn't true.
Yeah.
The ultimatum would be, I don't want to be treated like this. If we don't do something about this, then I'm going to have to end the marriage. And that's a pretty serious, that's a very serious thing to say. Don't ever say that unless you really mean it. Mm-hmm. But if you really mean it, that's the thing to say. It's not about going on strike. It's about saying, no, our relationship's on the line here. If it is.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is it often isn't. You know what I mean? It's like, well, I'm not going to break up over this, but it sure is annoying. And again, that's...
Yeah, but it's not that one thing.
Well, of course.
Right. So that wouldn't be what's causing the breakup. That's what precipitates it, or, you know, like the proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back. It's like, that's it. I'm done.
No, exactly. Yeah. And that's the point. That's why, again, couples therapy is often useful, mm-hmm. ideally, before you get to the ultimatum stage.
Right. Or at the least, maybe Shirley can go see a therapist if he won't, and she can get a little clarity on how she can deal with him. And
she can.
Maybe see what it is that he's picking on so much.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that can be very useful. The mm-hmm. the one caveat there.
Yeah.
Well, and that's standard advice. Do you know what I mean? That many of the the advice writers, you know, mm-hmm. when somebody writes in, well, if he won't go without him.
Yeah.
You know. Yes, says I used to do, well, I still do a little bit of individual therapy for folks I've seen for a long time. But says the couples therapist here, the caveat there, and there has been some research on this, if she goes by himself.
Herself.
Herself, thank you.
It's okay.
If she goes by herself, it is more likely than it would have been that it would end the marriage. In other words, individual therapy is a statistical risk to a marriage more than couples therapy is.
Really?
And couples therapy is because, look, couples therapy statistically is associated with ending marriages, not because couples therapy itself ends marriages, but because by the time people go to couples therapy, it's because they're seriously in trouble.
Yeah.
But individual therapy can have the effect of focusing someone on their own concerns, and in such a way that they may well lose sight of the fact that their partner also has concerns that are valid too.
Yeah.
And that if they really want the relationship to work, mm-hmm. if they can accommodate both of their concerns, if both parties can feel valid, they've got a shot at making it work. Mm-hmm. And individual therapy has the unfortunate effect often of leaving out the other person's validity. Because it's so easy to go and, you know, what are you going to do if you go to individual therapy? Of course, and again, I don't mean this in a cynical way, you're going to complain about your awful spouse. If that's how you're feeling.
Exactly.
I mean, it's legit. Of course you're going to do that. And the therapist, of course, will be sympathetic to you, mm-hmm. doesn't know your spouse. Mm-hmm. And
so you get, the therapist is getting one side.
The therapist
Although
is getting one side.
A good therapist will try to help her see both sides, I would think.
That's true. Absolutely. But, you know, it's interesting because you talk to therapists about this. There's a range of opinions here. Again, I'm going to make a quantitative statement without data to back it up, so take that for what it's worth, which may not be right. My impression anyway is most individual therapists don't feel like they have a responsibility to the spouse or family. Most individual therapists feel like, no, of course, my sole responsibility is to my client. Mm-hmm. I'm here to help her or him do the, you know, make their best life. And I don't have a responsibility toward other people who aren't my client. And I have always felt, and I think I'm in a distinct minority, not a, you know, it's not unheard of, but it's a distinct minority, I think, of people who've done individual therapy. I've always felt like, no, I have a responsibility to, of course, primarily to the person I'm speaking with, of course, and also to the concentric circles around them, their family, you know, their spouse, their family, their extended family, the whole community, that everybody's included in that. You know, I always used to feel like the model of people going to the therapist and it's this individual relationship that can go on for years and then they graduate from that, you know, sort of the old psychoanalytic model. And I always felt like, no, I'm more like the community rabbi, which I'm not, by the way, folks, in case people, I'm not a rabbi, but I played one on television, you know. I'm not a rabbi, but that sense of community healer that has a responsibility to everybody, of course, including the person I'm working with, not to the exclusion of them, but that it affects everybody and we're all in this together.
Right.
And that sense, it's a very different approach than merely saying, you know, well, you're an individual
all by yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the caveat about Shirley going by herself. It doesn't mean she shouldn't look. If she's really frustrated, maybe she doesn't need to go and get clarity and maybe she does need to split up. But it's just so interesting when I've worked with folks where, you know, one's first thought might be, oh, my God, he's a jerk. You know, no wonder you're having trouble. And you come to find out, no, he's a jerk, but I'm a jerk and you're a jerk and she's a jerk. You know? In other words, yes, is he capable of being
be
a jerk?
Jerks.
We are all, it's a necessary survival function. We are all capable of being jerks. We are all our jerks on occasion. I'm not excusing abusive behavior. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying someone should stay in an abusive relationship. Of course not. I'm simply saying that he's not the personification of evil, nor is she the personification of good.
Yeah.
It's more complicated than that.
All right. Well, then we can have folks sign up for your newsletter. And they can read more about this, yes?
They can. Well, let's get straight exactly what the offer is right now. So if you sign up for the newsletter, at least as of the time we are recording this, and I think I'm going to leave it this way for a while, you will get a link for a free, that is to say, no cost to you, copy, PDF version. You can download it. It's you know, electronic only, of my book, which the book, 7 Words to Jumpstart Your Love Life. That's the one that is already available. And look, if you don't want to sign up for my newsletter and you want to get the book, you can shell out $2.99 on Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.com and search for that title or just search for Dr. Bruce Chalmer and you will see it listed as one of the, I think I have three or five. My old statistics book is still available on. Don't buy that, folks. It has a 5 1/4 inch floppy disk in it. You don't want that book. But do buy any of the other ones. You know, you can get that. If you don't want to sign up for the newsletter. But if you want to sign up for the newsletter, you'll get it absolutely free. How about that? The other book isn't out yet, but will be in a matter of a few weeks from the time of this recording. And that one's going to be called My Husband Complains About My Cleaning.
Yes, this is a sneak preview.
There's a sneak preview of, and the book has a lot of other stuff in there besides what we just talked about today.
Yeah, well, we don't want to give away the farm, do we?
We certainly don't want to do that. And you know, I think you'll enjoy that book.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, let's put in a plug for the podcast itself. But I think you were starting to say if somebody wants to write.
Yes,
in,
yes.
I thought you were going to
say
that.
You know me so well.
I know you.
So if you have a question that you would like us to talk about on the air, you can write to us. You can write to Bruce at ctn7.com or Judy at ctn7.com or just visit ctn7.com. And in addition to that, if you would like to be on our show, as you know, we do a lot of interviews, you can suggest yourself by going to ctn7.com and signing up for a time for us to interview you.
Speaking of which, by the way, I am being interviewed on a couple of other folks' podcasts, which I will put up in my blog posts. You can find my blog at brucechalmer.com. Actually, and ctn7.com can get you over there, too. But I will be announcing when I'm on some other folks' podcasts as well. And one more plug for the books that got this whole thing started?
Right. Well, the one that got it started was Reigniting the Spark, Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back. And that one has been available for a while, and it's selling well. But we have our new number one bestseller in its category. Mm-hmm. It's Not About Communication, Why Everything You Know About Couples Therapy Is Wrong.
That is available in any of your favorite formats. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not a hardcover, but it's paperback.
Right, paperback, audiobook, and ebook.
All of the above, and you can get information on that also at ctn7.com. And so until next time,
remember, be kind,
don't panic,
and have faith.